Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The text for today is from the Old Testament lesson, Genesis 28, these words. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely Yahweh is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This summer, I visited Sedona, a beautiful place among the red rocks in northern Arizona. It is a popular place for New Age advocates. They hope to find there and to enter into a vortex of divine energy. And of course, capitalism always finds a way to connect. So in the stores, in addition to selling crystals and various New Age paraphernalia, they sell these little cans of vortex divine energy. I almost bought one, but was afraid to open it. Many Americans want to have a spiritual experience. They want to have an encounter with the divine. Some go all the way to Tibet for that. Some look within their soul for that. Dr. Victor Raj reports about the Parliament of World Religions. Among the more than 900 presenters were missionaries and evangelists for the Temple Beautiful, the Church of Scientology, Interreligious Dialogues, Sukyo Mahikari of Pure Light to Purify You Spiritually, Physically, and Mentally, Earth-Centered Spiritual Paths, Earth Spirit, Kashi Foundation, the Council of Thai Bhikkhus, Brahma Kumaris World Spiritual University, the Anand Marga Mission, the Quakers, the Art of Living Foundation, Freemasonry, Satanism, Sikh Dharma International, Scientific Pantheism, Anthroposophy, Clairvoyance and Spiritual Healing, Experiencing the Soul Before Death, During Life, After Death, and several self-proclaimed Supreme Masters. The Old Testament lesson for today speaks to people living in a poly-religious context. It comes from the book of Genesis, the book that begins, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That's an important sentence to remember, because when we speak of God, we are referring to the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, not some impersonal energy or force, as in Star Wars, "Use the Force, Luke." We cannot use God for our own agenda. He is the Almighty Maker of the heavens and the earth. He is your creator and my creator. We are his creatures. As Dr. Okamoto says, he is God and we are not. If there is going to be any encounter between puny human creatures and the Almighty Creator, it will have to be at his initiative and on his terms. We cannot manipulate him or coerce him. We cannot determine where and when this encounter with the divine creator will take place. He does not march to our drumbeat. He does not wait on us like some heavenly butler. We cannot domesticate him. He is the Almighty Creator, and we are his creatures. The creator does not have to come out of his hiddenness and reveal himself to people. If you are to encounter your Creator, it will have to be on his terms, at his initiative, in the place where he has chosen. The surprise is that the Almighty Creator does come out of his hiddenness and reveal himself to human creatures. He doesn't have to, but in his freedom, he wants to. Genesis 28 records one such instance. About 1900 BC, in the land of Palestine, a little bit north of Jerusalem, the Creator appeared to a man named Jacob, the son of Isaac. While Jacob was sleeping, Yahweh, the Almighty Creator, appeared to him in a dream. There was a ladder, a ramp, that connected heaven and earth, and God stood above it. Jacob met the Most High God. When Jacob woke up, he exclaimed, "Surely Yahweh is in this place, and I did not know it." It turns out that the Almighty Creator wants to come out of his hiddenness and have fellowship with finite human creatures. So he appeared to Jacob. Jacob met God himself. And the text goes on, and Jacob was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." An encounter with the Almighty Creator is a frightening thing, not like talking to your next door neighbor. Sometimes Christians go to church in order to be entertained or to pick up a few self-help tips, as if the Almighty is a stand-up comedian or a pop psychologist. Even Lutherans can take it all for granted. Is there any fear of God among Lutherans? Over 60% of Lutherans don't even go to church. How about among ourselves? We too can so easily take it for granted. We can become easily bored and yawn and stare out the window. Yet this is the Almighty Maker of the heavens and the earth we're talking about here, who created the universe by his awesome power, who merely makes a sound and the earth shakes. Jacob's response puts us to shame. He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place?" Literally, the original means, "How to be feared is this place." Being in the presence of the Almighty Creator calls for deep respect, awe, humility, reverence. It's not like going to another voluntary association of like-minded people. No, when you enter into chapel, when you enter into your home congregation or your fieldwork congregation, you are entering into the very throne room of the Heavenly King. You are entering into the very house of God Himself, the very gate of heaven. There is no other place like it. When God appeared to Jacob, what happened? Did Jacob have a silent, mystical experience? Did he lose himself and become one with the universe like a drop in the ocean? When the Creator actually encounters people, something surprising happens. The Creator speaks. He talks. He communicates. He is the Deus Loquens. He wants to have fellowship with his human creatures. So God spoke to Jacob and gave him a promise. "I am Yahweh, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed." The Creator identifies himself. He is the God of Abraham and of Isaac, the God who is now appearing to Jacob. It is this particular God, the God of Abraham, who is the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth. And he gives Jacob a promise. He promises that Jacob and his offspring will inherit the land of Canaan. Right now, Jacob is leaving the land of Canaan, fleeing from Esau, going to northern Syria. But the time will come when Jacob and his offspring will dwell on this land and multiply on it. Right now, however, Jacob has only the promise. He has the Creator's words. That's how God would have us live, by faith in his promises. The Creator wants to bless Jacob, but the Creator does not want to bless only Jacob. So he says to Jacob, "In you and in your offspring, all the families of the earth will be blessed." We are reminded once again this week, as the Ethnic Institute, Immigrant Institute of Theology, visits our campus and stays with us, how the Creator's blessing is meant for all the families of the earth. Yet how could God bring blessing to all the families of the earth when all the families of the earth are in fundamental rebellion against their Creator? How could God bring blessing to you and me when we do not fear, love, and trust in God above all things, or love our neighbor as ourselves? How could God bless Jacob? After all, Jacob had just swindled his older brother out of his birthright and his inheritance. Jacob did not deserve a blessing. The Lord God went to extraordinary lengths to win this blessing for all the families of the earth. Through you and through your offspring, he told Jacob. And in the fullness of time, God kept that promise. He appeared, he revealed himself in a definitive way. The one through whom all things were made became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is Jacob's God. As he said, before Abraham was, I am. And Jacob's God became Jacob's descendant, Jacob's offspring. Jesus is Jacob's offspring condensed into one. He is the true Israel through whom divine blessing goes to all the families of the earth. In fact, Jacob's offspring won that blessing for you and for me and for the whole rebellious human race. He won it by becoming a curse for us in our place. As it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Christ took that curse in himself so that blessing might come to all of us freely by grace through faith. And now the God who appeared to Jacob, the God of Jacob, who is also Jacob's descendant, Jacob's offspring, risen from the dead, now he comes to you today in this place. Through his word, he gives you his blessing, his benediction. He makes his face shine upon you and is gracious to you. Right here, the Lord comes to you in this place and says, take heart, your sins are forgiven. Right here in this place, he gives you his body and blood, the very body and blood that he sacrificed on the cross, and with it all of the blessings of the new covenant. Right here, he speaks to you as belonging to Jacob's offspring by faith in Christ. And he gives you the promise that he will come again in glory and lead you into the promised land, the new heavens and the new earth. Surely God is in this place. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our hearts and minds, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.